Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Need expert advice on your family's health? Speak to us today at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Okay, time now for some recommendations on what to check out on the big and small screens this week. And we're joined today by Donal Clark, film correspondent with the Irish Times, and writer Henrietta McCurvey. Welcome, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
We'll start with the movies, the cinema. Donald, Challengers is the film everyone's talking about, bringing sexy back to town.
It is, yes. I'm kind of like divided, by the way, people in the discourse these days, people are either complaining about too much sex on television yes. or else getting themselves an enormous kind of tizzy. But oh, look at how wonderful this is! They're actually opening themselves up. But no, it's a great film. Luca Guadagnino, that Italian director who's made a great remake of Suspiria a while ago. It's an interesting world because you essentially have menage a trois going on, but actually quite kind of tastefully done. I'm going to put it in those kind of rather restrained terms. It's a tennis film, but it's not really about tennis. It's really about the tensions between these three people played by Zendaya. At the heart of it, Josh O'Connor there as well. Mike Feist, who was so good in West Side Story. They are two top flight tennis players who fall out at the beginning, fall out over her, essentially. She has an injury. She ends up managing Mike Feist. So she becomes a kind of Lady Macbeth figure who is working her failed her aspirations through first Mike Feist, and then whenever he starts to kind of falter and loses ambition, she considers going back to the Josh O'Connor character. Those tensions between those three characters are worked out very well. It's very funny, as I say. It's there's a real sense of sexual tension throughout it. And the tennis is terrific. Now, I would say, I'm not an expert on tennis, that it sort of has a relationship to real tennis, the same relationship as Rocky did to real boxing. It doesn't look like real tennis.
Okay.
But it's incredibly exciting to watch. Nothing is so exciting here.
It's a blockbuster, maybe because Zendaya is in it, but is it actually an art house film?
It's trying to somewhere between the two. I mean, I think we're in an interesting place now. I mean, I would place it with something like Civil War, which is, you know, a really entertaining, fast-paced film, which also kind of has got something quite interesting going on beneath it at the same time. And could not be mistaken for it. Neither could be mistaken for a dumb film, even if you don't care for
them. So adult films are coming back to the mainstream.
Well, I think so, yeah. I mean, there's a film next week called Love Lies Bleeding, which also fits into that category coming that way. And I think there are films out there for adult audiences that are also kind of potentially have big popular appeal, and Challengers to me is definitely one of them.
Great, okay. And that's in cinemas now.
Yes.
Coming on Friday, Henrietta, The Fall Guy with Ryan Gosling. And people of our age will remember The Fall Guy, the unknown stuntman.
Absolutely, yes.
Look so good,
Colt Seavers, what a fantastic name for a character, really. Which was from 1981 and featured Lee Majors, the original film, who apparently has a little part in this one. So this movie, it's in the original one, Lee Majors was a stuntman who moonlights as a bounty hunter. So they've changed it for this in that. So Colt Seavers, Ryan Gosling, he has left the stuntman business a year earlier, but has to, of course, spring back into action when the star of a big studio movie, which is being directed by Jodie Moreno, played by Emily Blunt, suddenly disappears. That's the premise. It sounds like it could be quite good fun. I think the relationship between movie stars and stunt performers is actually a really interesting one. They're the ones doing all the heavy lifting, and then they have to be sort of invisible. Liam Neeson is one of the few actors I've ever heard in an interview talking about the guy who does the stunts.
Okay.
Most of them just act like they don't exist.
So that could be fun and probably going to be a huge hit.
Yes, I would say Ryan Gosling, huge hit. Yeah, the job
Friday,
isn't beach, but he's the man for it. Yeah.
Donald, that They May Face the Rising Sun has been getting extraordinary reviews and coverage. Is this the new Colleen Kuhn?
Yeah, I mean, it's not unreasonable to make that rather sort of obvious parallel. But I think, in the sense that it would play to a similar audience. I mean, I think films, there was a time 20, 30 years ago when there was sort of a parody of the typical Irish film, that it was a rural film that involved rural concerns, that it was set in the past. And then we kind of got a bit sort of out of that world, and it's great to see people revisiting that environment and coming up with original and beautiful stories. This is Pat Collins, who this point has been best known as documentarian, adapting John McGahern's final novel with Barry Ward as a sort of stand-in for McGahern, though I think McGahern wouldn't have seen it that way, but it's hard not to think that when you have this character, who in this version is a writer, though I don't believe he was a writer, as I recall, in the original book, living in a rural community for a year, as life progresses past him, slowly, events happen, but nothing huge happens, and we just get a sense of the permanence of that community and the permanence of the seasons as his life is lived. And it plays out because there's tremendous performances all the way through, and Barry Ward, Lola Roddy, Sean McGinley, a whole array of great Irish actors of a particular generation, and also because I think Pat has a real connection with the land and the processes of the land. A lot of his documentaries have been about craft, and in this you do get to see beekeeping, okay. You get to see the building of structures in the garden. All that sort of stuff is done beautifully and with great care. And I'm glad to see it's got great reviews, and from what I hear, people are going to see it in significant numbers.
And it has a widespread
release.
Yes, yeah. Okay, that's that. They May Face the Rising Sun. Henrietta, Palm Royal with Kristen Wiig on Apple TV. Daft, but kind of
absolutely daft. Yeah. I don't watch it for the plot. There's barely a plot hanging in there, but it is absolutely beautiful. The production design, the costumes. So it's set in Kristen Wiig plays a Chattanooga beauty queen who wants to become a member of the elite Palm Beach Society. And the only way to do that is to become a member of this ultra exclusive snooty Palm Royal Club. What's in her way? Well, pretty much everything, but that's not going to stop her. She starts by trying to climb over the wall into the club. When that doesn't work, something else. It looks really gorgeous, like bits of Mad Men, I Love Lucy, Bewitched. Really good cast. Alison Janney, Carol Burnett at 90 years old is in it. And Laura Dern is really good. She plays the second wave feminist called Linda Shaw, who is trying to raise Maxine's consciousness in her bookshop, which is called Our Bodies, Our Shelves, which is such a good joke.
So, you don't ask too many questions.
No, just enjoy it.
Donald, the BBC are doing possibly the most Donald Clark thing the BBC have ever done. They're rerunning Kenneth Clark's classic series, Civilization.
I should point out that.
Especially for you, I'm sure.
I'm sure. And it was the other Kenneth Clark, the Tory MP, Lord Kenneth Clark of Civilization's son, I think, Alan Clark, the MP, famously referred to the other Kenneth Clark, the MP, as wandering around with his awful suburban E. I have the awful suburban E on my Clark, so I'm no relation to Lord Clark. I love Civilization. No, it's running on BBC 4 again. You missed the first two episodes, but I can offer you, without offering too many spoilers, I can tell you that we got through the Dark Ages by the skin of our teeth, to quote the title of the first episode, and we're now moving on to the Renaissance. This was originally pitched to demonstrate how colour television worked. I mean, it was when David Attenborough was director of BBC Two, he came up with this idea of bringing in Lord Clark, as he then quite wasn't, great art historian, to offer a history of Western art with music, contemporary music playing in the background, music of that particular period, and that would convince the world that colour television was a real thing. It's that old. It's 1969, I think it came out, and it still is. I think it still works tremendously well today. Partly because, in a funny way, it hasn't aged. That he was an incredible fusty old character, patrician old character, Clark. But if you look at contemporaneous series like, for example, John Berger's Ways of Seeing, that's all kind of people in, you know, colourful shirts at red brick universities or plate glass universities discussing cultural Marxism in the 1970s. That looks incredibly dated now. Whereas actually this series, though it is printed by a fusty old character, seems kind of timeless. It's kind of series you could make now, even though the BBC have issued a bit of a sort of content warning about
of its time.
I'm not entirely sure anybody's going to be shocked by anything that's said in this series.
One of the great documentaries.
I think, there was that run of them, wasn't there, the late 60s, early 70s, The World at War, The Ascent of Man. Right then, it was a real great period for authored documentaries, and this is like one of the best.
Okay, so that continues Monday, 10 p.m. on BBC 4. Henrietta, you want to mention the documentary Girl State on Apple TV?
Yeah, this is really interesting. So since the 1930s, high school kids in all 50 states in the US can take part in a week-long residential summer camp to learn about democracy, like politics camp, basically, I suppose what it is. And two documentary makers, Jesse Moss and Amanda McBain, who had previously made a documentary Boys Camp, about the boys' version, made one about a girls' camp, and it was the first time ever, it was 2022, that both the boys' camp and girls' camp were happening on the same campus.
Right.
And this, they say, it's set in Missouri, and they focus on the experiences of seven of the 500 teenage girls taking part, because they have to completely immerse themselves. They have elections, they run for governor, they have to run campaigns, they have a Supreme Court that hears a case. It's really interesting. And the campaign, the candidates watching them run for governor, one girl wants to discuss gun rights and systemic racism in the criminal justice system. Another girl's campaign is based on her being fun. It's very entertaining. And Missouri is a great spot for it because it's a very polarised state. It has big urban and tiny rural communities, and this shows them all.
Okay, yeah. That's Girl State, and it's on Apple TV now. Yeah. Donald, Liam Neeson has a new film out on Netflix. The title is making me nervous. In the Land of Saints and Sinners.
It's fine. It's fine. I know they use that phrase quite often on this show, but you could approach it in terror at the notion you're going to get another one of those awful American visits to the to our shores. But actually, it's written by an Irish team, directed by Robert Lawrence, who produced a lot of Clint Eastwood films, and it actually doesn't feel unlike a Clint Eastwood film.
Okay.
Felt that it's not like a Western in many ways. It begins with this killing and the troubles in Northern Ireland, set in the 1970s. Then we find Liam living in Donegal, and it transpires that the bombers have moved nearby and they've become involved in Neeson's life. Neeson is pretending to be a bookseller but is actually an assassin for Colin Meaney. All of which sounds like an awful lot of plot. There is an awful lot of plot. It occasionally falls into Irish rural cliches, the sort of things that you do find in those American films that touch down in Ireland and don't get away with it. But actually, it's got great performances all the way through it. Everyone's a hoot. Liam Neeson is great in the Eastwood role with a pipe and a tweed cap, wandering around with his shotgun. Jack Gleeson's really good and sinister. Neve Cusack's got a good role. And Colin Meaney is great. Colin Meaney is really funny as classic Irish foolish hoodlum boss in this, and it's fine. You know, I mean, I don't think anybody will regret
the hour and 45 minutes in the Land of Saints and Sinners. That's up now. Henrietta, 30 seconds, just to tell people about Cleaning Up. Was a cancelled ITV show a few years ago, and it's now a smash hit on Netflix.
Absolutely, and it just shows you can buy in original content and it'll do incredibly well. It stars Sheridan Smith as a struggling single mother who's a cleaner in a city office. And no sooner can you Google insider trading and she has found a way to see what's going on around her, because nobody notices the cleaners as they're doing their job. She's soaking up all this information and decides to turn to her own advantage. Really good series, yeah, but it was cancelled after one on terrestrial TV. And bought for nothing, like by Netflix. And it's doing really well.
Excellent. Okay, that's Cleaning Up on Netflix now. Donald Clark and Henrietta McCurvey, thank you both very much for that.